Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. I'm in terrible conflict right now because I'm doing my show and Val Demings is being interviewed on The View, so I can't listen to it. So I have to try to catch a snippet later. But in the meantime, you know that among the hats that I wear, real estate is one of them as a realtor here in Central Florida. And I don't know if anybody got a chance to watch CBS Sunday Morning. And I did post a link on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. But by the way, they had a story on, are reparations the answer to America's historic racial wealth gap? And they had one graphic up there, and I took a screenshot. I'm going to see if I can post it on there. The median wealth, this was 2019, but, you know, it's only been a couple of years. It hasn't, you know, the disparity hasn't closed that much. The median wealth for white households, $184,000. The median wealth for black households, $23,000. Okay. On the show, and there was someone from the St. Louis Federal Reserve, he was saying that for every dollar that a white person makes, a black person makes 12 cents. Okay. So for those of you that are really busting your butt trying to keep up with the Joneses or whoever you're trying to keep up with, you may not be able to do it, maybe in the way that you're trying. So you might need to, as they say, work smarter, not harder. But there are, I guess, means to help. And there is, you know, and one of those is with the lady I'm talking today with. It's the Twimble Foundation, and Tonja Windley is here to give us more insight. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm doing good. Thank you so very much.
So tell me, first of all, well, tell us about the Twindle Foundation and tell me a little bit about what you think of what I just shared.
The Twindle Foundation is a nonprofit organization that I started to help to close the gap between for minorities to help them to purchase homes or real estate, so closing the gap between for home ownership and to help to build generational wealth. In the statement that you made about the household median, that number, it's so mind-boggling. It infuriates me every time I hear that because it's almost like, you know, what in the world is going on and how is this allowed? And everyone, every minority, or not just minorities, everyone should feel that way because when you look at that number, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't because minorities or African-American, we put in just as much work as everyone else, and there's no way in the world that my neighbor could be okay with my household median being at such a low number and then their household because how did we advance? And when people say that things are equal across the border, we have the same opportunity. It's not. It's totally not. And the number proves that.
Yeah, it just made me physically ill. It just really, really did. It made me sad.
It's
it made
disturbing.
Me physically ill.
It's
yes.
disturbing
and
disheartening.
Okay. So let's talk about your efforts in order to help with this. What exactly, how did you, and what is your goal and how do you plan on getting there?
When I started the foundation, I wanted to create something that was going to help people so that they would have more knowledge about the information. They had more knowledge and resources of how to obtain home ownership and, you know, saying the challenges and the obstacles that they would face. And also being that student loan debt is one of the biggest challenges that we do face with purchasing a home, I wanted to create a scholarship so that it would help to lessen the debt so that when minorities go to college that they would come out having less debt and that they wouldn't have to worry about being able to purchase a home because that's a big factor because student loan debt drives up your debt to income ratio, and so that's pretty tough, and it holds us back. And I, as a realtor, I've seen that from time to time, and it's so hard when you're trying to make those numbers work, and then it's just like, you know, and then you have your income, and it's just like it's hard to put that together. And some people, they have to take on another job, but here's the thing, you have to at least have to be in that position for 2 years. You know, you can't count that second income for quite some time. So it's hard for people because when they're ready, but then, you know, they have to wait more time. Like, hey, another setback because now I need to make more money. So it's always a struggle. And when we take parents out of the home, that creates a whole other topic. So it's very hard. I wanted to make sure that it was providing a solution to a problem, not just saying, hey, student loan debt is the cost, you know, what do you do? Like, no, let's try to fix it. How can we make things easier for minorities, but how do we educate people along the way as well?
One of the things that has become a real pet peeve of mine in terms of home ownership is the gap in terms of appraisals. And I, you know, I'm not saying all appraisers are biased in any way, but at the same time, there's something terribly off with the system. There was a story that was based out of Jacksonville that I've talked about before, where there was a biracial couple who got their house appraised, and they thought it was lower than it should have been. So the female who was African-American took down the pictures of her and the children and left the pictures of the husband who was not African-American.
Right.
And they did another appraisal. And it was higher. It was much higher. I live in an area that, you know, is predominantly minority. And I, you know, people are like, well, how do you sell houses there? It's like, because in my neighborhood, the house that you're paying maybe $300,000+ for, someone can get here for maybe less than two at one time. Now everything's crazy right now. But my point was that you get more bang for your buck. It's just a matter of you've got to be willing to say you don't mind, let's say, living in a minority neighborhood if you're not a minority. Or it's a matter of saying the value of the house is the value of the house. You know, I value what the house has to offer, 4 bedrooms, 3 baths, a pool, fireplace, whatever it is that you're looking for. And I think we really have to hold appraisers accountable in terms of valuing the houses so that people who live in predominantly minority neighborhoods can get the same amount or close to the same amount of money out of their homes when they try to sell it so that they can move on than they do in the other neighborhoods. What are your thoughts?
Right. Well, you know what? Just from working with appraisers, it's so tough because in my situation, they don't say a whole lot, and when you challenge them, it becomes something different because they don't care what your thoughts are. It's almost like they're dismissive, and I'm not saying everyone because I don't want to offend any appraisers out that's listening that's doing their job correctly, but I feel like it's just a little bit more of holding them accountable. I feel like maybe the wrong people are in position because I know that lenders go back and forth, you know, because they need those numbers to work as well. And so they're, you know, some of them will fight really hard because it, they know that it's wrong and it should value it more. And sometimes people go and have that second appraisal done, you know, privately or on their own dollar, and it's still, well, it's their dollar from the beginning, but on their own dollar, but the appraiser still doesn't have to go with that second number, you know, but in that situation, that number was huge in comparison. So, you know, that said a lot, but I feel like we need to get the right people in position, you know, people who are willing to do the job right, people that aren't looking at, you know, the color of someone else's skin and then trying to define or determine what their value worth or how much they should deserve to make a situation to where, and this was before that story hit, but I asked my client to take her photo down off of her wall just because I didn't want any backlash from it. I just said, hey, listen, maybe you should take the photo down, not thinking that something was going to happen, but just, you know, maybe we should just take it down just to be safe. So there's no hiccups or anything along the way. Plus, you don't know who's coming into your home and who knows who. So, but as far as appraisals, that it's ridiculous. And I feel like there's a lot of qualified, good, honest people that could fill those roles. And I feel like we just have to shift and put the right people into this. And even for minorities, because we're the ones that are getting hung up, we need to allow them to see that, hey, you can do this job, and we need more people like us to help us, to make sure that things are done right, the right way, you know what I'm saying, to support our own community. So I feel like, yes, we do need to hold them accountable, but also we do need to bring in more, make it more diverse and allow more minorities to know, hey, listen, we need more people in this field. We need more people doing this so that change can happen. Because we can't allow it to continue to happen, not in that way.
Right. In fact, one of my friends that was on the show before, Stephanie, she has even said, well, maybe we need more minorities in, you know, doing more of that type of work. And God
Absolutely.
Knows we do need appraisers. And I even talked to a friend of mine who she does, like, I think property management, who is actually going to school to become an appraiser. And I was so happy to hear that. And I know there's going to be challenges for her, but I'm glad to hear it. But the other thing too is, at one point in time, I guess the mortgage companies were more involved in selecting the appraisers, but now it doesn't seem to be that. It's FHA. And some of those other entities that are more involved, and the lenders are not as involved anymore in terms of securing the appraiser. So we have a government entity that we really need to hold accountable.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So but we need to keep bringing awareness to these type of situations and letting them know that we're aware of what's going on and that we're not going to tolerate it. And I mean, you know, because as long as it's okay, they're going to continue to do that. They're going to continue to undermine us. They're going to continue to try to bring us down. They're going to continue to try to value us whatever way. It's bad when you go in the work industry and then they tell you how much you work when they try to pay you less money than everyone else. But then on top of that, now they're coming into your home and into your livelihood where you build generational wealth. So if I can't stop you here, then let's just find another way. So I'm still trying to take the money or the wealth away from minorities. And it's just ridiculous. Every time we try to make a step forward, there's always some type of step back. And people just feel like they're in control. And that's just not it.
So, there's so many questions I want to ask you. So one of the things I wanted to ask you is the communities. Do you foresee ways where the communities can be more involved or come together to support minority home ownership, especially in the African American community? Because I do notice that other communities tend to support each other a little
support
bit
each other.
More.
I had this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I had this conversation just a few days ago with someone, and I was just stating how it's so hard, and it's not everyone, but it's so hard for minorities to come together and help each other, because a lot of times when people they move forward and they advance and they don't see the situation doesn't happen to them, it's almost like they forget about the community. They forget about the people when it should be when we leave our community, we gain knowledge and wisdom and resources and we take it back to the community. We give back to them that way. We open those doors because and give them access to the stuff that we learn. You know, it's almost like someone who's sitting up high and looking down low, it's not like you're judging them, but you're in a position where you can help, and that's where you place your hand down to pull up the next person. But it's so hard because if one person says, "Oh, I'm trying to make a six-figure income, and I'm this," and they work hard, and then they breeze through it. They don't have those issues, but they forget about that cousin or that aunt or that friend who struggles to get them. It's just like, but you're supposed to be the one that helps them. You're supposed to be the one that turn back and give them that resources. You know, it's like we're supposed to share what we know, but a lot of times that just doesn't happen. And I keep saying it doesn't matter until it matters. It matters to you.
We are here with Twanda Windley of the Twindle Foundation, creating wealth through real estate. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944, and we will be right back. Okay, we're going to continue. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are talking with Twanda Windley of the Twindle Foundation. And one of the things that you just mentioned and one of the things that we really got to work on is to, create a better understanding in terms of using real estate to bridge that wealth gap. In fact, one of the, and I want to say it's TI, and I'm trying to even find the information that on when he had this quote, but I think it was the rapper TI, and he was talking about how we, instead of investing in a lot of the stuff, you know, like rims jewelry and stuff, you know, stuff like that the money that you make, when you make it, you really do need to take it and reinvest in real estate. And, I mean, I never thought that real estate would be like a primary career for me. It was not on my radar. It came up actually where I had my mom and then there were a couple other people that I actually had worked with in the past. But you really need to go in real estate for various reasons. And I think, though, as I'm kind of glad I got into it because I, you know, was able to learn and grow in it and to think and want to really emphasize the importance of real estate. And I think people have to understand, I guess, the different dynamics that they have to use when they're looking at purchasing real estate. They have to look at, I mean, yes, it's your home. I always say it's your sanctuary here on earth. But it's also probably the biggest monetary investment that you're ever really going to make in your life. And so how do we get people to come at it from, you know, not just the emotional side of it, but also the practical side of it? One of the things that my husband and I did, and my heart wasn't probably as in it as my husband, but my knowledge, I guess, or base was a little bit more involved in it. And one of the things he was like, "Well, let's buy an investment property." And I'm like, I'm one of these people. I've shared walls all these years. I've been in apartments. I don't want to share any more walls. We ended up buying a duplex and closing on it the day before we got married, you know. And, you know, it was a learning experience and everything like that. And we don't have it anymore. Should have kept it. But, you know, the thing about it is now, you know, I do try to encourage, you know, if you are young and unattached and don't mind sharing some walls or don't mind taking some risks because that's the time you do it, you know, find a duplex, find a fixer-upper. You know, there's cash out there for that. And get
you know, get involved in some real estate in some way, you know. I mean, and you may not succeed the first time around, you know, and that's the thing, you know, you got to grow, but do your homework, too. But how do we get people to I guess, take their heart out of it a little bit? Not totally, but, you know, because if your heart's not in it, you're not going to do a good job. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I think that we need to open people up, and again, this comes down to comes back to knowledge again. I think that we need to share with people the benefits, those pros and cons when you do purchase those investment properties, because there's so much to learn when you do, and even when purchasing a home, there's a lot that people need to realize when they do purchase a home, because there's a lot more that comes with it. You don't just move in because you know, there's repairs and stuff that you need to plan for, and you need to maintain like a budget for that type of stuff. Those things that we don't anticipate. It's the same with when you're buying a car. Like, you know, there's things that you need to do to keep it up and running, and you need to plan for that type of stuff. A lot of times we do tell people, you know, purchase real estate and you know, maybe you could flip a home or maybe, you know, get an investment property and rent it out and stuff. But there's so much that comes along with investment properties. And if you're not going to flip it, or if you do, you want to make sure, you got to see how much money it's going to cost for you that you would have to put into it, and how much money that you're going to gain, you know, with that when you're flipping properties. If you get a rental property, you have tenants that's going to be in there, and, you know, how long will the lease, and then how often do you have to keep the make the updates, or every time someone moves out, do you have to change the carpets out or make any type of repairs? What if the air conditioner goes out? So we want to tell people ways of building generational wealth, but we also want to make sure that they understand the pros and the cons that comes along with that, because that's the part that really just kind of scares people and deters them from going into that direction, especially when you don't have the mm-hmm. knowledge and wisdom to do that type of stuff. It's the same as student loans. It's like we need to go to college and get an education, then we take out the student loan, and then we have debt, and then no one tells you at the end of the day, you know, if you default on these payments, this could cause you not to be able to get a job, or can hold you back from, if you're an attorney, this can hold you back from, you know, from getting a job, working for a different type of firm. So there's so much that comes along with it. We keep pushing stuff on people and telling them, oh, buy stock. But what happens when that stock starts to plummet? It's just like you're telling people what they need to do, but you're not giving them the rest of the information that they need to know in order to move forward, those things that they need to be aware of, so that when things start to go in the wrong direction, they need to know how they're going to fix it or who they can go to ask, because but clearly they probably won't ask you, because you were the one to tell them to invest into that type of stuff anyway. So we need to make sure
right.
that we're giving people the proper knowledge and education, all the resources that they need, or at least tell them what comes along with it. You have someone who purchased a home and they probably defaulted on the payment and home went into foreclosure. Years down the line later, they said, oh, no, I don't want to do that again. And it could have been a place where they could have had help if someone was to give them that type of information. If they fell short on the job, someone could have told them, hey, listen, do you have equity at home? Maybe you could refinance it. Maybe you can draw some equity out, get yourself caught up into the payments, or even if they got behind because they had a roof leak or something and they had to repair the roof and then they set back into the payments, they need to know what's available for them out there so that they can know how to handle those situations when they do arrive. Or maybe, like even now in this situation with the pandemic, maybe there's an option for all those people who lost their job and then they got behind in their payment. And a lot of times people, especially in the African-American community, they just give up. There's no hope
mm-hmm.
in because they don't know what to do. They don't know who to ask. Who can they trust? They need a safe person. They need someone that's going to help them and not someone that's going to try to push them on out of the house. How do they know that? Well, maybe you can contact your lender and ask them for what is it called? It's where they help you to a modification. That's the word that I was looking for.
Oh, yeah.
To get a modification to start all over again, and it might be a setback, but it allows you to move forward and then come up with some type of plan to pull yourself out of the hole. The only thing is that you need to do is be able to see the light. And then you can go towards the light. But the thing is that there's not enough people given the right information so that people know what they're doing when they do start doing this stuff.
Right. There's a couple other things I always say. There's a couple of T's. One is tithing. Okay.
Tithing?
It's in tithing. And the reason I bring up tithing, because, yeah, tithing, we think of it in terms of church and everything, and mm-hmm. you know, that element is important. But I say,
yes,
tithe yourself. Okay.
Right.
It, just as you're going to set aside that amount for a church or whatever, set aside something for yourself. Now, you may end up using it on a house. You may end up using it for something else. But you need to start taking off the top for yourself so that you either have it for an emergency or you have it, even if it's for a vacation, much needed vacation, or if it's for a house. But you have to start taking a percentage off the top of your income and convince yourself, because we always think we're not worthy, we're not worth it, we don't need to be holding money back, just holding it back for ourselves. And I am guilty. I am so guilty. It's a work in progress for me. But we have to start doing that so that, let's say, you do decide to buy a house. And for these people that keep thinking that there's zero down and all that type of stuff, even if it was zero down, you cannot come to a real estate transaction with no, absolutely
nothing.
No money. There is no way in the world. That is a myth, okay? So let's just be clear about that. So because you still have to put furniture in the house, okay? There's
right.
still things
there's...
that you have to do, even in the perfect world. So tithe, I would say set aside some money. The other thing that I say is timing. Timing is everything. And those of you that had the great homework skills when you were coming up in school, this is the time to use those homework skills. Those of you that didn't, this is the time to make up for that and develop those homework skills. Do your research, you know, and try to figure out when a good time is for you. Now, you can take advice and you can read, but you still have to determine the timing for yourself. You know, right now with the prices that are really high and stuff, some people would say this is not a good time to buy. And some other people may say this is a great time to sell. But if this may not be the best situation for your situation.
Right.
And so you have to do your research. You have to do your homework. So that those are the things that I wanted to kind of put out there. What were you saying?
You know what? I was going to say sometimes it could be, you know, people. I feel like sometimes people do hold themselves back, you know, oh, it's not the time, you know, when is the time? You know, but everyone to each his own, everyone has their preference in the way that they do things. And in the market, it could be good. It could work out very good for the seller right now because of the changes. And, you know, it's hot and they're on demand, houses are on demand. But later on, for the person who purchased that home, it puts them in a great position as well, too, because now that home is valued at a certain amount, and so, or it's sold for a certain amount, and so the number change, it changes for the community, because the next appraisals that is done, they're going to know exactly how much that house went for, and so there's different ways, so it may help the community for the people that are living in it, so when they do go and resell at a later time, that it may help them as well. So you just, it's just different ways that you have to look at it. And a lot of times I feel like fear holds people back and they can talk themselves out of a lot of things. A lot of times people are safe, you know, instead of risk takers. So I guess it really does depend. But you're absolutely correct. And what you're saying about tithing, you know, I've always heard that people say that you should pay yourself. You have to look out for yourself because why are you working? You're paying bills, but you're not paying yourself to, you know, to take care of you and the things that you need to take care of. And that's, again, to just educating people on, you know, on things, because a lot of times, sometimes we just don't know until we have those conversations or someone speaks out. And a lot of times people don't. And I don't know if it's out of fear or what, but we do need to be open and start having these type of dialogues so that people are aware, or they even, like, so that they'll know, you know, just hear different ideas of what other people are doing. So they say, hey, you know what? I ought to try that as well, too. It's like you jump on the bandwagon, a lot of people doing it. And so it's just like, okay, then the same way that people start following Dave Ramsey and his program and they believe in it, you know, that same way that he puts that information out there and people draw to it and then they say, oh, okay, well, and then they reach out to churches and they put that information and they draw people into it, the same way the black community needs to get together and start putting that information out there and start showing and sharing that type of stuff with the community so that we know how we can move forward and how things could change or how change could happen in our lives. But until we get there, you know, we just got to keep, I guess we'll just have to keep plowing the field. We'll just have to keep doing what we're doing now, and hopefully others will join along with us.
We are here with Twanja Windley of the Twindle Foundation, promoting wealth through real estate. We're going to take a quick break. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the art with you. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is National Homeownership Month, and I talked about, a quote from rapper T.I. We were talking about real estate, and I'm going to post this on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. This is from September. He said, it could be a patch of dirt, bruh. Go to your hood. It ain't got to have no house or on it or nothing, just buy it. He's encouraging people to use their funds. He was encouraging people to use their funds from the government to buy land. We're here with Twanja Windley of the Twindle Foundation, promoting wealth through real estate. And thank you again for being with us today. What do you think?
Well, you know what? I think that it's very interesting. And I think parts of that I agree with, that you should, that people should buy land, because land, right now, the value of land is at a really good place, and the demand for land is really good right now because, of course, with the home shortages, builders are building everywhere, and what do they need? Land. I actually, I've worked with a lot of clients who I've listed a lot of land over the years, and so I do work with that type of lots and properties and stuff. But there's a downside to that, again, like I stated, that, you know, we have to educate people, because when you do that type of stuff, you want to do research with everything that you do. So you want to make sure that you don't just go, you see some land for sale and you say, hey, I want to purchase this land, and then, mm-hmm. and then you can't do anything with it, because that's the downside of that, because sometimes the land may not even be buildable, or even if it is, that's usable, and even if it is, then what portion of it? There could be a portion of it that can't even be used. So then you need to do some research. You also need to go down the county, allow them to show you, you know, what that land looks like, the part of it, the topography of it, the part of it that you can't see. Is there water behind there? You know, was there a creek or something? Did they just cover it up and, you know, build up over it over some years or time or whatever? There's so much to consider, because there's a lot of times you get land and you may have an acre and only half of that is usable, and a back half of it you can't, and the county, you know, could show you that type of stuff. So you want to, if you see some land, you don't say, oh, I need to jump on this before, you know, it's taken. Oh, I need to do some research to make sure that what I'm purchasing is going to be sure that you do your due diligence so that you know that it's going to work for you, or even if you decide, because if someone else is going to come from, if you hold on to it and someone else want to buy it, they're going to do due diligence on there before they,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to have your money tied up to something that you can't even use.
Right, right.
So, again, that comes back to us having knowledge and wisdom, covering ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do, just don't get yourself into, I mean, yeah, we're advocating, you know, buying real estate for sure, but don't get yourself, that's what I'm saying, do your homework and do the timing that works best for you, because you don't want to get yourself into a situation where you lose even what you already have. You lose everything. It's
right.
important. But, yeah, she's right. Homework is so important. One of the things that I did, and I should have done more. I did some, but I did more homework, but I also didn't put myself in a position where I got myself messed up. I bought a tax deed property. I ended up paying $9,900 for it. It was a corner lot. Nice. I got an offer within a couple months after I bought it, because I was basically trying to do a purchase and flip. And it turned out it had a lien on it. Now, my thing was, okay, first of all, fortunately, it wasn't where I needed to go and sell this property right away. You know, I didn't put myself in that position. It wasn't a primary property for me. The second thing is, you know, I'm like, I'm not trying to come to the table to pay a lien out of my pocket, you know,
right.
just to get rid of the land. So I took it off. I sat on it for a couple of years, and the value of the property went up.
Oh,
and okay. And so with the lien, you know, I had to pay. I ended up making $33,000. And then
nice.
The thing is, though, you have to take out how much you initially paid for it, how much the lien was, and there are other expenses. So for me, basically, I broke even.
Right.
Lesson learned. But, like I said, I'm sure, though, I did not put myself in a position where I was coming to the table with money to have to pay, because you don't ever want to have to do that when you're, you know, doing that type of investment.
Right, right. That's exactly correct. When you don't want to have to come out and put so much money into it, and it's just like, okay, how am I going to get my money back out of this? So when you purchased that corner lot, was it in like a subdivision and there was just one corner lot that was available?
Yeah, it was a property that was it had a house on it. The house mm-hmm. burned down. And so it had belonged to a family from years back. Even when I was trying to sell it the second time before I actually sold it, there were issues with it, because it was one of those things where it had been owned by a family along with some other family members, and they divided the property, but they didn't divide it properly. So one of the
yeah.
other things I ran into was that a portion of the boundary, one of the boundaries, fell into the middle of someone's driveway.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, that
yeah.
was something else I didn't find out. But like I said,
you know what?
God,
I'm sorry.
God works some stuff out. So, you know,
yeah,
it ended
absolutely.
Up being okay. So.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there was something that you said, and that just made me think a little bit. Just being able to say this to people, because a lot of times when people go to purchase homes or purchase this land, and sometimes people do things on their own, and I think that it's imperative, like, they should really have someone, especially for someone who doesn't know the industry or the business, or even if they're going
mm-hmm.
to buy from a builder, you need to have representation, that you need to have a realtor that's going to that's going to ask the right questions, that's going to get you into the right direction, point you into the right direction, so that you know exactly what you're getting into. And a lot of times, you know, builders make these deals very sweet for people, and you go and purchase a home on your own, but they fail to realize that the representative or the agent that works for the builder, they represent the builder, and that doesn't
right.
necessarily mean that they have your best interest. So you want to have a realtor, because you don't know. All they do is go over this long 60, 70 something pages of documents and have you to sign and tell you this, this, and this. You don't even, you didn't even ask any questions. You don't know what to ask, or you don't know what's going to happen. Like, they tell you, well, here's the time frame, but what about the setback, or what happens if you don't, if your loan doesn't go through? Do I get my earnest money deposit back, or do they continue to move forward and keep the money? And there's stories about that type of stuff. Did someone tell them, hey, you can't put in an offer on a home on today and then go down the street and put another offer on another home, and because now you're under contract and you're obligated to both of them if they don't release that, you know, because a lot of times we do things and then say, oh, I didn't know. So you need to have representation. You need to have a realtor. You need to have someone that's going to guide you, but you also need to listen too. You need to listen and allow that person to help you to get to across that finish line, so that you know what you're doing and that you're not putting yourself in a bad situation or end up, you know, with something that you're not supposed to have, or with land that doesn't work for you.
Right. Yeah, please keep in mind, when they build these nice new subdivisions, you know, and I'm not necessarily wanting to speak against the builder, but let's be clear. When they build these nice new subdivisions and they're nicely landscaped and they put all of the common areas there, like the pool and clubhouse and stuff like that, and they go in and stage all of this stuff. And I mean, if you've watched any of these home improvement shows, you see how they're staged at the end. When you walk into them, they've done the same thing. They've staged these things to make you fall in love with the house. Or
right,
you, so
yeah.
That you have to have the house, or you have to have something similar to that. Please keep a couple of things in mind. One, like Twan just said, they represent the people in the offices that you meet, represent the builder. They have to look out for the builder's best interest. Otherwise, they don't have a job. So
right.
You need someone to look out with you. Now, some builders will work with realtors and some will not.
Right.
Before you sign anything, though, even if you don't have a realtor, which you should, get a real estate attorney.
Yes,
if
absolutely.
There's something that you're reading that you do not understand, please remember what I said. This is probably the biggest financial investment that you're going to make in your lifetime. You don't want to be where you can't complete the purchase of this property. And enjoy it for all of the time and effort and money and stress that you put into it. So just remember that, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So. There's a I have this like a checklist, like kind of like the process to purchasing a home, and you know what, the first step of it is just, you know, checking your credit score. And just knowing where you're at, and then, you know, you want to save for a down payment and closing costs. And we talked about that earlier, purchasing a home with nothing, having nothing at hand. Like, you have to have some skin in the game. You have to bring something along with you. And then, again, determine how much home you can afford and then choose the lender. And when I say determine how much home you can afford, and I'm going back to what you said about how the homes are staged and everything looks good, and they all have all the upgrades in there, and it's beautiful, and it's just like, oh, this is my dream home. The question to yourself is, can I really afford it? And even so, they said, oh, this house is only $275,000, or oh, it's only $300,000. And even if you do get a pre-approval for it, you want to still keep in mind that just because you have a pre-approval for this, you don't want to set yourself up for failure because, again, like we discussed, there's all those upkeeps that comes along with purchasing a home, and then you need to have money saved away, stashed away, something, so when that air condition does go out, you know, you have the money for repair. At some point, 6 years, and then typically a roof lasts for 10 years, but at 6-year point, because when you go to resell that house, a new roof makes a big difference. It does, and when people want to buy that house, they're going to say, oh, this roof is old, or when's the last time that you had that, the air condition changed out or whatever, cause those old units, because people don't want to walk into that stuff having to carry that burden. They don't want to. You know, they're 10 years into a home. They don't want to come in and say, oh, this roof is 10 years old, and now I'm going to have to make those repairs. You know, at some point, you know, you're going to have to make those updates. You're going to have to upgrade this house and make those changes, especially if you want to get the most money for the house when you do resell it. So those are the things that people really do need to consider. But there's this 28-36 rule of thumb, and it just states that you should spend no more than 28% of your gross monthly income on housing expenses and 36% of that on your debt, and monthly debt payment. And that's stuff that people really do need to think about, because when you just because you have that, oh, I can afford this $300,000 home, there's so many other things to factor in, and don't forget that you have the debt. So I want to make sure that people, just because someone gives it to you, you don't have to take all of it. We should really consider, you know, what we're getting ourselves into, and then just in case something happens, just like point in case the pandemic, and look how that has left people in uproar and, you know, has caused for financial strain on a lot of people. And so we want to make sure that we cover ourselves and that we're able to maintain as well.
And don't forget about taxes and insurance, and if you're
insurance.
In a flood zone,
right.
Expensive insurance. And don't forget, for those of you that have to be in a new home subdivision, there's probably no way you're going to get around having to pay an HOA.
Mm-hmm.
So don't,
mm-hmm.
don't
and if
forget
you don't
that.
Pay, and if you don't mm-hmm. pay, then there's a lien or judgment that's placed on you. So then you can't sell the home when you're ready to. So there's a lot that we need to consider, a lot of things that we need to know.
Yeah, and if you decide to build, custom build, in a lot and everything, if you have one, if you buy a raw lot, you've got to think about paying for clearing that lot and other things. If there's wildlife on it, there may be some issues. You know, our issue here is gopher tortoises. They charge you a pretty penny per gopher tortoise to remove them off the land. So just, you know, we're not trying to discourage you, because, you know, we like real estate. That's why we're in it. But,
yeah.
you know, we want to make sure that you don't come away from your real estate experience with a bad taste in your mouth. So
right.
When we come
developing land. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say developing land, it costs a lot. And custom building, it's a lot more than when you're buying in the subdivision. There's a lot to think about. It's a higher price per square footage. And then if you hadn't purchased the land yourself, if you hadn't purchased your own land,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to have to buy a land and home package. And that land is probably going to be priced a little bit higher than what you could have done. So there's a lot
right.
of things that you really need to consider or just consult with someone just to know those pros and cons before you walk into it. And that's why, you know, when you hire a realtor, you work with someone, you know, they've had the training and they've got the experience to walk you through those things. It's not always cut and dry. It's not. And then when we talked about the appraisers and how they, you know, mishandle African-Americans or minorities, just think about that type of stuff. You want to make sure that you're protected and that people are not getting over on you.
So true. You have a scholarship that I want to talk about when we come back. So we're here with Twanja Wendley of the Twindle Foundation, helping you to create your wealth through real estate. This is National Home Ownership Month, and this is G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment, and we'll be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is National Home Ownership Month, and we are talking real estate, of course, with Twanja Wendley of the Twindle Foundation. And tell us about the scholarship that you have.
Oh, yes. You know what? It's very exciting to be able to give back and give back to the community and help people. you know, in serving. And that's something that I do, that I've done all of my life, and that I love to help people. And so I wanted to create a scholarship, one, because I know what student loan debt does to minorities, and I've experienced that myself, you know, just going to college and not having enough money, or wondering how I was going to pay for tuition. And then even after graduating, sitting there with student loan and debt, and just like, you know, I wish that things were different. Or so I wanted to create something that was going to lessen the debt and help people to go to school without having to worry about education or how they're going to pay for their education. I wanted them to be able to get through school, and I want them to be able to get through school and not have to worry about how they were going to cover things or whatever. I feel like when we go to college, we need to focus on what we're there for. And so I created a scholarship, the William Earl Lattson Junior Scholarship for minorities, and it just allowed it was a very special moment. This is the first year of it for the giveaway, and so the first recipient, he won this $5,000 scholarship, and we look forward to doing it again in the spring of the year, which will be in January. And anyone can apply for it. The criteria is on the website, twindlefoundation.org. There'll be new updates on there, and hopefully in the future we'll get to increase the amount of recipients. So the goal is to help as many people as we can over the next 20 years.
So what when you got into this, what was it that nagged you and it was the impetus for you to get the foundation started, and what do you want the takeaway to be today?
You know what, actually, when I started, the first idea was I wanted to create a scholarship fund and just help people to go to college, because I knew what the struggle was for myself and for my parents. When I went to college, my parents, we didn't have a lot. And so, and I remember there was just these two young cousins that lived together, and I remember them telling us, sharing their stories with us in English class, and they were just saying that their grandmother wanted them to go to college and be able to be the first in their family to go to college, and she didn't want them to, you know, be on the streets and getting into the wrong crowd, that type of stuff. But I remember them saying that they didn't know if they were going to be able to finish out the semester. And I saw them a couple times around campus, and they were having a hard time going through a hardship. They didn't have food. You know, they were sharing stuff or asking people for different things. And so it was so disheartening, and it was something that was in the back of my mind. I kept saying, when I'm able to, I was going to do something, because I know what that life looks like. I know the struggle. And then when I became a realtor, I started seeing the effects of student loan debt that was causing minorities not being able to purchase a home. So one, when making a whole lot of money, you know, with wealth disparities, and then now you have they have student loan debt, and so it's just like, okay, now is the time. There's something that I need to do. So then it started off with just wanting to start a scholarship fund to help people, just from those two young people and myself, you know, just knowing. And once I started in real estate, I saw something totally different, but they connected. And it was just like, okay, so how do I educate people, but how do I become a resource as well, too? So there's a problem, and I want to be a solution. I want to help them. And so that was my drive. That was the push that I had.
So before we go, give us your contact information. How can we get you?
You can reach me at you can go on our website, which is twindlefoundation.org, and it has all of my contact information listed. You can also follow or find me on social media, Twindle Foundation, and it's on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn as well.
All right, great. My sister Realtor, I am so proud of you. Thank you so much, and thanks for sharing your vision and your drive and what you're trying to do with us here. So we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
I
appreciate you allowing me to come on and share.
Thank you so much. Take care. Talk to you again soon.
Before we go, just to let you all know, Chef Fee, who couldn't be on with us Monday, she will be back tomorrow on the first half of Geese Power Hour. And also Friday, our civil rights attorney, Kevin Anderson, I believe, is going to be back with us because on Friday is the sentencing of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin in the murder of George Floyd. So that will take place sometime on Friday. So don't know exactly when that sentence will come down. If it's early, then, you know, Kevin will follow up with us. But Kevin should be with us on Friday. So just wanted to let you know. Another thing I wanted to talk to you all about briefly is on the beginning of July, that first weekend in July, is not just July 4th, there is a documentary coming out in the theaters. It's called the Summer of Soul. And I did post some information on the Geese Power Hour Facebook page, but I want you all to really go out and support this movie if you can. It's very interesting, and it's got Gladys Knight as part of the narration of this, then there's artists that are featured from this, including one of my favorites, Sly the Family Stone. But it's a very interesting movie, and I am going to work, just pray for me, to get someone on here from this documentary to talk about this, because I think I'd like to see all of us to get out and support this on the July 4th holiday weekend, don't wait till July 4th. It starts on the 2nd, in some places the 1st. I'm going on the 3rd, if God willing, so please go out and do that too. So if you have subjects that you want us to cover on Geese Power Hour, let us know. Hit me up on the Geese Power Hour Facebook page. Want to cover it. So anyway, thank you for listening. This has been Geese Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, Gee. Again, thank you to Twanja Wendley of the Twindle Foundation. I have put that link on the Geese Power Hour Facebook page as well. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
He'll make it all right. God is able.
God is able.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
He'll supply.
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken.
Whatever is broken.
He can fix it.
He can fix it.
No need to worry.
No.